studies have been coming out left and right that show that low-dose glyphosate is very toxic. And because it's a slow kill, it's hard to prove. It's an endocrine disruptor, so it has a lot of issues with the reproductive system. And it causes certain cancers like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Author Dr. Stephanie Seneff.
The Bayer's in trouble with all these lawsuits in the United States, and actually they've decided to not put glyphosate in the Roundup formulation that they sell in the United States to the residential community. They're still going to pour glyphosate all over the food supply. You know, that's not a problem because you can't prove toxicity with a farmer because he's typically exposed to so many other chemicals that you can always point your finger at the other one. And 95% of the school lunch samples were positive, and 100% of the fast food samples were positive with glyphosate. So it is all over the food supply. We're being slowly poisoned, and I think it's the primary cause of the autism epidemic. So many people in the United States are avoiding gluten, you know, gluten intolerant, casein intolerant. And I think both of those are, glyphosate is maybe the primary cause.
Hey there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. If you're new around here, I'm Matthew. You'll find me here every Monday and Thursday talking health, well-being and self-improvement with many of the world's leading experts in those fields. If you're already familiar with what I do here and you'd like to show your support, you can do so for free. Like, subscribe, share, WhatsApp other people in your life, email them, tell them all about this podcast. They might get some value from it too. You can also leave the podcast a positive rating on iTunes and on Spotify. And if you're over on YouTube, become a subscriber there too and leave a comment as well to show your support. Now, it just recently occurred to me that I passed 400 episodes. Yes, it's taken me 4 years and 400 episodes to mount a huge body of work. So feel free to dip into the Happy Habit archive. Loads of great subjects discussed, great interviews in there as well. If you want to check them out, feel free to do so. Now, Dr. Stephanie Seneff is the author of Toxic Legacy. She has been a very loud voice in opposing the use of the weed-killing chemical glyphosate called Roundup by the agricultural sector all around the world. In this episode, we explore what this chemical is and discuss how it negatively affects not only the health of animals in the laboratory, but also livestock. We hear of the environmental implications of its use, but chillingly, we also hear about how it affects human health, our reproductive and our endocrine systems. Dr. Seneff explores the damage to the nervous system in humans, including neurological damage caused by glyphosate. Expect to learn of the increase in glyphosate use and a corresponding increase in the numbers of children being diagnosed with autism in recent years. We discuss how the use of pesticides and herbicides impacts our microbiome, our gut bacteria, which has been linked with the massive increase in gastrointestinal disorders in recent years. Also, we learned that you can't wash glyphosate off affected foodstuffs as it is absorbed deep into the tissues of the plants. Now, this is a subject that is of concern and a very current one, given that in North America, these chemicals are widely used. And in Europe, a decision has only recently been made to allow the continued use of this glyphosate weed killer for another decade, which really, really needs to be examined. We hope to do a little of that in this interview. You have been very, very vocal about your opposition to the use of glyphosate by the agricultural sector in America. It's an opportune time, I think, to talk to you actually today, because the EU has just voted on allowing it to be used for another 10 years. And we will get to the problems associated with it, both from an environmental and a health standpoint in just a second. But if you can, for the benefit of people listening and watching this, could you tell us what glyphosate is? And what it's made of and how it is used.
Yeah, it's an herbicide. It's the most used herbicide on the planet. The United States is a ringleader. We use more per person than any other country in the world. UK is pretty close, you know, but other parts of Europe, less so. Their glyphosate usage is lower, but not zero. The governments think it's safe. And, you know, Monsanto did studies way back when that were corrupt. I think they were corrupt, and they managed to hide the evidence of its toxicity. It's a slow kill, and they intentionally only study the animals for 3 months. Seralini showed that if you wait for 4 months, you start to see problems. By the time they finish their life, continuing to be exposed to low-dose glyphosate, they get lots and lots of problems, the rats. And that study really kind of changed the the picture of the story. 2012 was when that was published. It got retracted and republished. And then now recently, last few years, have just been studies have been coming out left and right that show that low dose glyphosate is very toxic. And because it's a slow kill, it's hard to prove. But people are aware now, and they can do things like exposing a pregnant rat during a critical time period of development. And they can show that low dose, the rat's fine, the offspring are fine. But by the time you look at the next subsequent generations, you see a lot of damage done by the grandmother's exposure during pregnancy. It's astonishing. So it's an endocrine disruptor. So it has a lot of issues with a reproductive system, and it causes certain cancers like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's been shown in various, many, many people are getting successful lawsuits, jury-based trials. They're getting large awards, which is really hurting Bayer. Bayer bought Monsanto several years back, and the lawsuits started becoming successful right after Bayer bought it. I suspect the Monsanto lawyers knew how to fight these things off. But the Bayer's in trouble with all these lawsuits in the United States. And actually, they've decided to not put glyphosate in the Roundup formulation that they sell in the United States to the residential community. They're still going to pour glyphosate all over the food supply. You know, that's not a problem, because you can't prove toxicity with a farmer, because he's typically exposed to so many other chemicals that you can always point your finger at the other one, and glyphosate gets off the hook. But I think glyphosate is extremely toxic in low doses, and you get continuous exposure throughout your lifespan. U.S. processed foods in the United States, Zen Honeycutt, a friend of mine who's the founder of Moms Across America, she did a study on foods in the school lunches in the United States and on food sold by the process, by the fast food industry. And 95% of the school lunch samples were positive, and 100% of the fast food samples were positive with glyphosate. So it is all over the food supply in the United States. We're being slowly poisoned, and I think it's the primary cause of the autism epidemic.
Well, we'll come to that in just a second, but I suppose just to put this into context, you said that more and more research is coming out, pointing the finger at these chemicals. And I suppose this started off way back in the early 60s with Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, and she published that book in 1962. So the alarm bells were going off at a very early stage. So we've had 6 decades now of this.
That was DDT, but it's sure. The same story. Yeah. DDT was being used widely. The kids were soaking in it, you know, as they would spray the mosquitoes, and DDT is very toxic. It's the same story, different chemical. But we have a lot of other chemicals as well. There's other herbicides. Atrazine is extremely toxic. And Tyrone Hayes has shown that in his studies with frogs. He showed that tadpoles exposed to low doses of atrazine could male tadpoles, XY genes, could develop into fully functioning females with able to produce viable eggs. I mean, that is incredible because of the exposure to the chemical, disrupting the reproductive system.
Indeed, I was casually browsing in preparation for this interview today and looking for the negative effects of glyphosate. And immediately I found a study showing cows exposed to it suffer liver and kidney damage.
That's right. Yes. And there was a study on pigs that were born defective pigs. They were malformed in Europe. E. Peterson was the author on that. And it showed... they measured glyphosate in the tissues of the pigs, and they found it in several different tissue samples from different organs. So the glyphosate accumulates in the tissues. This is something that is very, very serious, because over time you get more and more. Your body eventually gets a burden of glyphosate that causes you to get sick in some way. And there are many different ways you can get sick from it, depending upon your genes, you know, as far as where the illness shows up.
Talk to me about the association, because you write about this in your book, the association between the microbiome and glyphosate.
Absolutely. And that's critical. I think it's absolutely critical. The more I study, the more I realize that it's a disruption of the microbiome that starts off the whole cascade that causes all these diseases. And it has to do with bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, both of which are hypersensitive to glyphosate compared to other microbes. So glyphosate preferentially kills them off. And those two microbes are extremely important in the infant gut. And bifidobacteria used to be dominant, but their counts have been shrinking over time. Looking back in history, even going back, in my book, I talk about early studies and the contrast between the levels of these bacteria in the old days versus now, tremendous change. And the bifidobacteria play a crucial role in the infant gut. And when they get suppressed, then the pathogens overgrow. And then you get inflammation in the gut because the immune system comes in and tries to control the pathogens. Inflammation and glyphosate causes leaky gut syndrome. I think it's the primary cause of the gluten intolerance epidemic that we see, because wheat is highly contaminated with glyphosate. It's not a GMO crop, but it's sprayed right before harvest. And you see high levels of glyphosate in wheat-based products. So many people in the United States are avoiding gluten, you know, gluten intolerant, casein intolerant. And I think both of those are, glyphosate is maybe the primary cause of that intolerance, because the bacteria, the lactobacillus, are needed to break down the gluten. And when they're killed by glyphosate, the gluten peptides stay around and they cause autoimmune disease.
And I suppose people will say there seems to be an epidemic of people with digestive issues at the moment.
And the other thing is, of course, glyphosate blocks an enzyme in the shikimate pathway. This is its famous mechanism of toxicity to the plants. The shikimate biological pathway is found in many plants, found in many microbes, not found in human cells. So the argument Monsanto uses is, we don't have that pathway. We don't have that enzyme, which is DPSP synthase, so we're good. You know, this is an argument they use. It doesn't affect us because we don't have that enzyme. The fact is, many of our microbes have that enzyme. They use that pathway to make the essential amino acids, tryptophan, tyrosine, and phenylalanine. And those amino acids are building blocks of proteins. But not only are they that, but they're also precursors to many really important biologically active molecules. In fact, all these neurotransmitters, serotonin, melatonin, the thyroid hormone, the skin tanning agent, melanin, all of these things, and dopamine, all of these things come out of that shikimate pathway. So they become suppressed. And in fact, a recent study, 2023 on rats, I was very excited to see that study. I forgot the name of her last name, but a really exciting study where they showed that they exposed the pregnant rats to glyphosate. And they exposed the lactating rats after the pups were born. They never exposed the pups, just the moms. And then they looked at the pups 3 months later when they were adults, and they looked at their level of melatonin produced by the pineal gland. And it was way down. So they said that glyphosate had disrupted the development of those rats such that they could not, throughout their life, they could not make enough melatonin. And melatonin, of course, is the important thing that pineal gland makes to help you sleep. And we have a tremendous epidemic in sleep disorder in the United States. That's rising. I've looked at the data. The prevalence of sleep disorders is rising exactly in step with the rise in glyphosate usage.
So the endocrine system has also been affected. If I can move to another body system which has been affected, and this was prompted after I found a study from 2022, which was published by the National Institute of Health there in America. And this study showed damage to the nervous system arising from exposure to glyphosate. Talk to me about this and then the dangers that extend then to neurological disorders then.
Yes, and it's Diane Catani is her name, and she's done many studies on glyphosate looking back. She's really good. And she's also the one who looked at the nervous system and looked at the brain and the suppression. Glyphosate caused glutamate neuroexcitotoxicity. It looked like the argument was that it suppressed the ability of the astrocytes to remove glutamate. Glutamate's released into the synapse by the neuron. It's an neuroexcitotransmitter. So when you get too much glutamate, you get neuroexcitotoxicity. The neurons get damaged, and the astrocytes were unable to remove the glutamate because of the glyphosate. It messed up their enzymes that would process the glutamate and turn it into glutamine and make it safe. So excess glutamate in the brain caused damage to the neurons, and it also interfered with the uptake of cysteine, which was critical for making glutathione. So glyphosate causes deficiency in glutathione in the liver and in the brain and probably everywhere in the body. Studies have shown both of those, independent of this one I mentioned. I think glutathione deficiency is a key contributor to autism. It's a key feature of autism and is caused by glyphosate exposure, glutathione deficiency, and it indirectly through glutamate excitotoxicity.
Well,
I don't know if that made sense. That's a bit complicated, but there's a glutamate cysteine exchange.
It's a lot of science. Well, it's interesting you mention autism because looking at one of your speeches that you gave about 10 or so years ago, I was very interested in one of the graphs that you showed on the night itself. And this mapped the increase in the incidence of autism against the use of glyphosate. Could you talk to us about this relationship?
that is really what convinced me. And my story is kind of interesting because I was looking for reasons why the autism rates were going up. This was back in 2007. I started looking. 2012, I got introduced to glyphosate. I hadn't considered it because I thought it was safe. I was looking at other things and I was coming up short, but I knew a lot about autism at that point. And Professor Don Huber gave a presentation on glyphosate that was stunning. And I attended that presentation. And I walked away convinced that I had found the answer. And I never looked back. I mean, I went home and started reading everything I could about glyphosate. And it just fit like hand in glove. And so I teamed up with Nancy Swanson, and we looked at, I'm a computer scientist. We got data. It was actually publicly available data about the usage of glyphosate on core crops, corn and soy crops, and then data about autism rates in the first grade, according to the IDEA. So there's a kid gets evaluated as autistic and gets benefits, gets, you know, support in the school system in first grade. And we looked at glyphosate usage integrated over the previous 4 years. And we plotted those two curves on top of each other, and they coincided. Incredibly statistically significant correlation between the rise over time of the autism in first grade and the rise over time of the use of glyphosate on core crops. Glyphosate usage has been going up year by year because the weeds are becoming resistant and they have to use more to kill them.
And is it true that the incidence of autism has increased hugely over the last 40 years? I'm not quite sure what the statistics are. 1 to 2% or something like that.
But it was one in like 5,000. I mean, when I was a child, we didn't know anybody with autism. We didn't even know the word, you know, there was nothing. And then rates started going up, particularly around 2000. And that was when they introduced the GMO Roundup Ready crops. The autism rates started going up. And I was watching them going up year by year. So by 2007, I was getting really alarmed about the situation. The government says, oh, we're just diagnosing it more. Don't worry about it. They dismissed it. They didn't even try to look for what could be causing it. But then it kept on going up. And now it's, I think it's like, I'm forgetting exactly, but it's like 1 or 2% of the kids. So that's a very high number when you think of how many kids there are, a very high percentage of the kids. I think it's 1 in 36 was what they got. Okay. In the latest numbers in the United States. And it's as much as 1 in 20 in certain parts of the country. So it's, you know, variable depending on where you live. And New Jersey has a high rate, for example, and it's significantly higher than the national rate. It's really scary to think about that many kids with autism because many of them can't speak. I mean, they're very debilitated, and often they even have suffering from pain. I mean, they're very hard, difficult kids to deal with, and it's going to cost a huge amount to our society. They're growing up now. The first generation of this epidemic are maturing into adults, and we don't have ways to take care of them. We haven't had that in the past. So the government's dealing with, what do we do with these adult autistic people? And meanwhile, bigger and bigger crops are coming up from the kids. I think it's going to really mess things. It's going to derail the economy, I think, in the United States if it keeps on going up like this. It's a very big danger that we're facing right now.
The fact that these pesticides and herbicides are affecting the brain reminds me of a conversation I had with a neurologist from the University of Rochester, Dr. Ray Dorsey, there recently. He's focused primarily on Parkinson's disease, and he absolutely believes that pesticides and herbicides have contributed to the huge increase in the incidence of Parkinson's disease over the last century.
I agree with that completely, actually. I really think that's true. And glyphosate is one of those herbicides that has been shown to cause Parkinson's disease in farmers. Those studies have been done.
Can we talk again there about the immune system and how the immune system is affected and people then with autoimmune diseases and disorders, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, the immune system is very, very complex. And I do think that it gets weakened by glyphosate. And then that makes you susceptible to disease. And so that's another problem that we face, is that people are more susceptible to, for example, severe flu because your immune system is weak. And I think part of that is a disruption of the ability of the immune cells to clear cellular debris or to clear viruses. So there's the immune cells actually are able, they're like garbage collectors, right? And they can clear out, if a cell dies, the immune system can actually metabolize that cell and remove it safely from the body. But when the immune cells aren't able to do that, then you even get toxic exposure to DNA, human DNA that comes out of cells that get broken. You know, they die in an unhealthy way, and then the immune cells aren't able to clear the debris efficiently, and then you get autoimmune diseases like lupus. So I think glyphosate, and I mentioned those peptides that don't get digested, and those trigger immune response because the immune cells see these peptides floating around in the blood coming from gluten, for example, that it recognizes it as foreign. They know it's not a human peptide, and when it's foreign, it attacks it. And so the immune cells start attacking these peptides. And then there's a process called autoimmune disease, molecular mimicry, which can cause autoimmune disease because the immune cells get confused. They sort of have, they're nearsighted, and they see this peptide that looks like the one they're attacking because it's similar to the foreign peptide, but it's a human peptide. And then they attack that as well. And that's how you get things like multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis. And of course, lupus, all these autoimmune diseases that we're seeing. Eosinophilic esophagitis is an interesting one because that's a new disease. It only started appearing in the 1990s. And I think glyphosate is the reason for that, the primary reason for that disease. And it's inflammation of the esophagus, and you can end up with esophageal cancer from that.
I suppose the obvious question is, are there any healthy alternatives to glyphosate?
There's always hiring people to pull the weeds, which is what we used to do. I'm excited about a robotic tractor called the Monarch tractor that's being designed and built right now. And it's pretty exciting. It's a cute little tractor that rides around in the crops, and it has AI technology. It has vision, so it can recognize a weed, and then it can shoot it with boiling water, for example, and kill it. So it can use non-toxic ways to kill the weeds specifically by recognizing them without having to have a human go out there and pull the weed by hand. And it has solar powered. So you can really imagine that eventually we'll have these Monarch tractors or something equivalent riding around in the fields and taking care of the weeds automatically. The other thing is there are natural quote unquote herbicides. You can make them in your kitchen actually that involve salt and oil, soap that you would use to wash the dishes, a little bit of soap, some salt, and vinegar, salt and vinegar and soap. And you can use that in your yard to kill the weeds, non-toxic.
And then I suppose that what can people do who are listening and watching this today in order to mitigate against their exposure? Because obviously, even if you buy organic, or even if you're growing your own vegetables and fruit at home, etc., and you're washing those or whatever it is, even if you go out to a restaurant, you can't guarantee that you aren't consuming something that was treated at some point with glyphosate. So what advice would you have for people as far as that's concerned?
You actually can't wash glyphosate off. So, okay, you know, you can wash to get some of the other chemicals off, like the insecticides, but not the glyphosate. It goes into the tissues of the plant. And so when you eat the food, you're eating the glyphosate embedded in the tissues. You can't wash it off. And as far as treating glyphosate poisoning, for example, trying to get rid of it, I think it's quite difficult, but I do have some ideas. They haven't been proven, but one thing that excites me is eating fermented foods, because there are certain, most of the microbes don't know how to break glyphosate down. It has a difficult CP bond in chemistry that's hard to break down, but there are some that have the enzyme that is needed to actually metabolize glyphosate. You can turn it into a source for a phosphate, for example. And but there's only a few that do that. One of them is Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is a problem in the hospitals. So it's a pathogen, but it can chew up glyphosate and disappear it for you. So it's a beneficial pathogen, if you will, but except that it causes symptoms and makes you sick. So I think we have part of the problem with the pathogens is that we're favoring those microbes that can metabolize glyphosate. And if they're natural pathogens, they're going to cause health issues, you know, and symptoms. But also Acetobacter. So there are some species of Acetobacter that can fully break down glyphosate. And that excites me because Acetobacter are found in things like apple cider vinegar and sauerkraut. So if you eat a lot of, I try to eat apple cider vinegar pretty much every day, and also sauerkraut on a regular basis. So to eat fermented foods, and there's also kombucha, you know, there's certain drinks that are probiotic. So eating foods that are probiotics, I think, is a very healthy thing to do. I also encourage people to eat a lot of sulfur containing foods, because glyphosate messes up the sulfur system badly, and you end up with a deficiency in sulfate. I've wrote about that extensively in my book, and also in glutathione, because glutathione needs the sulfur as well in the cysteine molecule. So I like to eat foods that are rich in sulfur, and I really like onions and garlic and things like that. So I eat a lot of those, and cruciferous vegetables. And of course, animal-based sulfur containing foods like seafood, fish, and shellfish, you know, they're all really healthy foods to help supply an adequate amount of sulfur to the body. So those are my two things. And also sunlight exposure. Sunlight exposure, I think, is very important for making your immune system healthy. And making your immune system healthy is key for removing the glyphosate, because if the immune system can't clear it, you know, you basically really need to have a healthy immune system to clear the things that are damaged by the glyphosate, for one thing. And getting the glyphosate out, I think, is very difficult. But you could, people have suggested that you can take humic acid and fulvic acid, which is complex organic molecules in the soil. And they sell products that have that, and those are natural. And so I think that would be a good idea to try. No guarantees, but there's a claim that when you that those can help to bind to the glyphosate, possibly even containing enzymes that can break it down. So you can get those as supplements and take those to help clear the glyphosate from your gut. But getting it out of the proteins, and I write in my book about my belief that glyphosate integrates into the proteins. Places the coating in my amino acid glycine. That's kind of a centerpiece of my book. I think that's happening. And if that's happening, it can explain how one chemical could cause so many different diseases through disrupting different proteins throughout your body. I believe that's happening. And I believe that's why glyphosate is so toxic and also why it's a slow kill.
If people want to find out more about glyphosate and they want to find out more about your work and your book indeed as well, where can they go?
Yeah, well, my book was published by Chelsea Green in 2021. And I write extensively there about exactly how I think glyphosate causes the problems that it causes. So that's a good place to learn about glyphosate. And I have a webpage, stephaniesenef.net. And I guess, I have lots and lots of interviews. So if you want to just search for my name, S-E-N-E-F-F, in YouTube or something, you'll find a handful, a huge pile of interviews, because I've been doing this for a long time.
Thank you very much for all of your advice and your information, your insights today. Let me give the name of the book again. It's called Toxic Legacy. Dr. Stephanie Seneff, thank you so much for your time today, all the way from Hawaii. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, on the side of the world. And it's amazing that we can talk to each other like this. Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for tuning into this episode of the Happy Habit Podcast. If you liked it or indeed got any value from any of the previous 400 episodes, show your support. It's free. Like, subscribe, share with other people who you think might enjoy them too, and leave the podcast a positive rating. Until next time, stay happy.